And as a father, you have another opportunity because she actually physically came from you. And even if she didn't physically come from you, she'd been under your care her whole life, at least as a child. And so there's another opportunity there for extension, for you to see that she is you in a really personal way. What love says, what love does, and in the holy relationship, correction to the relationships, is indeed that not only, you know, is it somehow in the essence she is you, but you start to feel in you that her happiness is your true happiness. That whatever part you can play, that somehow it would be happier for you if somehow she was happy.
Oh, I got it.
And not that she would make you happy. See, the ego says she would have to do something, say something, be some way to make you happy. That's a special relationship. But the holy relationship recognizes with a certainty that her happiness is your happiness. What is better than your happiness in your body is for you to acknowledge and see and witness a true happiness in her. That's a tricky thing for the ego to allow, because it might be not the dream that you had in mind. But, you know, that living your life that way, that is the holy relationship, because you're wholly experiencing both sides. Now what you say and what you do and even what you think, it's so non-competitive. It's so not selfish. And yet it is selfish in the true effect of selfishness. Because you find that you actually are happier, more in love and loving when you see her happiness or when you hope for her happiness. It's a wonderful transition that happens when you have this experience. You know, this lesson, two of the lessons have us do that. I think it's 121 and 160 or 161. And it's where the Course has you actually bless somebody else. Actually see in them perfection, happiness, and ask them to bless you. You know, the ego says, I'm already perfect, and people should recognize that I am perfect or that I deserve love. And the Course flips that around, says, boy, you really got that backwards. And so just a few comments on the transition from a special relationship to a holy relationship and essentially how that works.
Well, Andrew, in terms of another relationship, my primary relationship on a day-to-day basis is Michelle. Last week I shared about her feeling unhappy because she's so feeling insecure around medical insurance. And so I realized, you know, anyway, I went ahead and supported it, and that made her feel happy and more content, mm-hmm. less, more secure. We have an old house, a really very nice house. I mean, you know, from sure. my perception.
Yeah.
Nice house. Old, needs work, needs renovation. And I'm 76. Michelle's like 72. And I'm going, oh, man, I got an estimate to replace all our windows in her house. And they got to be custom. That's what Michelle wants, is custom windows, which I will like too, but I wouldn't die for it. And it's like, you know, like close to $150,000 to replace that windows in her house. And I'm going, and we have other things. I mean, it's like a domino effect. So I said to her the other day, I said, hon, is this really how we want to spend our time now? Is this, what's this really for? And our happiness and whatever. And she took it, and then she was parted. We didn't have a fight, just parted. And then in a little while, I was in the den there, she was there, and I could see she was unhappy. And it, I'd kind of put that, I didn't really, anyway, I said, I just reflected, you seem unhappy. And she said, yeah, she says, it's really important to me to renovate our house. I mean, we've had it like 35, we've had it a long time, 45, we had a long time. And it's her dream. And she got tears in her eyes. And I said, well, I can understand that. But just her sharing it changed her. It changed. We didn't decide what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It changed her. So my question is this. We know as students that changes in form aren't the source of our happiness, that no form is a source of our happiness. And Michelle's very much, she's not going to look at things like I'm looking at things here. But we must have a lot in common. We're together, you know.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about happiness and form. And you see those, that's a level of confusion when we have a Course in Miracles discussion. Form, improving your form, we know does not bring happiness. It brings comfort. And you are living in a body that craves and rests in comfort. And if it does not have comfort, and we can define comfort any way you like, just remember it's of the world and the body. Without comfort, you can be hungry, angry, lonely, tired, frustrated, disrespected, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all the same level, but you know, here it's quite real. It's not true when we talk about happiness in the Course in Miracles, but it's, real. And as the Course says, just a couple pages ago, we read that the Course recognizes that this world is something that you really believe in and have invested in and actually have this this identity going. And there's no problem with that. That's not a sin. That's not a sin. There are no sins. You know that? You know, the Course says that, right? There's no sin. That means there's no sin anywhere at any time. Your mistakes are not sins. You are a growing child of God forever. And so let's not confuse happiness and comfort or pleasure or the small L love, which is a wonderful game here. Right? We all play that. But with A Course in Miracles, we have a capital L love. We've learned to make a distinction between what is true and what merely appears to be true. I call that real. I like to make that distinction. I don't want to say that none of this exists. That is so silly to me.
None of this exists. Oh, okay.
That's silly. Hey, there's no time. But since you mentioned time, I need to go pick up my kids. No time, right? See, you're kind of fooling yourself. You're having what Course calls level confusion. And so I'm going to call you out on that right now, and it might be helpful to you.
Yeah.
So you can clarify your coursework from your life. As Dawn, the ego, the lovely ego, with a lovely wife and family and house that you can develop and be more and more comfortable. And you started out on the right page because you said, you know, I know that doesn't bring me happiness.
Or
that's
her.
Right. Yeah, well, that's true. You know, but see, that's what we're talking about, happiness in the sense of Course in Miracles uses it.
Right.
And so you're absolutely right. And for you to have the happiness that we talk about that is, keyword now, true. Now you must have a miracle. You must have a miracle to switch levels. That's what a miracle is, right? Switches levels. A shift in levels is a miracle. And the same logic that paints happiness with the house or with another body, it's not the same thought system that gives you happiness with things like honesty and eternity and understanding, sharing, and joy. Or enlightenment. That's a different discussion than bodies, houses, cars, money, right temperature, loans paid off, vacation. These are all, you know, these are all things that you manage. Just keep the levels correct and you won't have so much confusion. Holy Spirit will counsel you on everything. There's no limit, no limit to what the Holy Spirit will counsel you on, because that is the Holy Spirit's job, is to translate one level to the other. Aren't you lucky? You got a translator to walk with you every day, anywhere you go. You don't have to worry about what to say or what to do if you're listening to the Holy Spirit. He will direct you. Even where to go. I mean, where is so, you know, two-dimensional, right? Three-dimensional even. What should you do with your body to be truly helpful? Truly, I said truly, not really. Truly helpful. Well, represent him who sent you now. Now that you're doing A Course in Miracles student, you have an idea that you can represent true thoughts, joining thoughts. And so just know that he goes there with you when you ask. When you ask for a translation, you get it. If you don't ask for a translation, you get your habit because it was already running.
Okay.
Good. So level confusion, Don. Keep the idea that it's the one proper use of separation in this book. And it is proper use of separation is to separate you from your ego. So I love the way you phrased it. I love that you gave me a chance to talk about it. Like I said, you are teaching the group right along with me. Thank you.
Okay, if I may reflect back to you what I heard.
Good.
So in this circumstance, I would take this decision and I would say, Holy Spirit, take this from me and look upon it and judge it and so on. And seek counsel. Seek counsel, guidance on my true thoughts about it.
Just let go of the idea of you having any thoughts about it for a while.
Okay, I want to have true thoughts. I guess philosophically I would say if I offer up true thoughts, at some level they will resonate with Michelle.
Yes. Yes. If you allow the Holy Spirit to think with you, to think with your right mind instead of your wrong mind, you bet. Those would be true thoughts that are useful, truly helpful.
It would help me think with my right mind.
Yeah, that's
Speak
correct.
My right mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's really quite stark how we approach suddenly going from having an opinion to letting the Holy Spirit counsel us. I mean, I'll show you. There's a couple of paragraphs on page 27 in the Manual for Teachers. Let's go there and have Jesus talk to us about this. Weigh in. Yeah, 27 in the Manual for Teachers. Back of your book now.
I'm going. Page 27?
Yeah, 27. And we're going to read a couple paragraphs. It's good every once in a while to come here and get scolded by Jesus. Well, really, he's going to say, look, I mean, you should know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. that's kind of what happens on these next couple paragraphs.
Okay. Well, I asked for it.
Yeah, you did. You did. But you came here for it. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Well, you paid for it, and so we're going to deliver. So, Deborah, would you read for us? Start with paragraph 2. I mean, hang on a minute. Yeah, let's just go to paragraph 2. Yeah, let's go to paragraph 2. Start there.
How is judgment relinquished? It is necessary for the teacher of God to realize not that he should not judge, but that he cannot. In giving up judgment, he is merely giving up what he did not have. He gives up an illusion, or better, he has an illusion of giving up. He has actually merely become more honest.
Oh, sweet word.
Recognizing that judgment was always impossible for him, he can no longer attempt it. This is no sacrifice. On the contrary, he puts himself in a position where judgment through him, rather than by him, can occur. And this judgment is neither good nor bad. It is the only judgment there is, and it is only one. God's Son is guiltless, and sin does not exist.
And therein dissolves all the competition and criticisms and need to correct anybody at any meaningful level. But you really cannot judge. And that when it says judge here, it means it's really talking about whether somebody is guilty of being harmful or bad. So this is a judgment that you would use to separate somebody off as a sinner or evil. Not judgment on the right color of a house or the right color of a car if you have children versus if you're single dating. This is a different judgment. Is that what we're talking about? Okay, judgment that matters. The judgment that sticks, a judgment that makes you become obsessed with somebody. This is the judgment we're talking about. Luann?
I have this problem all the time, it seems to me. Maybe it has something to do with what Don was talking about. The person that I judge the most is myself. For instance, if I were in Don's place, I would be thinking, I don't know how to get through to my wife that we don't really need to spend at our ages $160,000 on what something looks like. I don't know how. And I would say, well, I ought to be able to figure that out, where she doesn't get upset and I don't get upset. And we can save that $160,000 for when we need to retire or something. Because what I do to myself all the time is I say, I've been in a blue funk most of this week, for instance. Can hardly get out of bed to dress. In fact, under this coat is my nightgown. and I've been sitting here and I just found out today, it makes me want to cry, that my only nephew is dying, will be dead in a few months. From pancreatic cancer. And his father was my only real brother. All the rest of them are half-brothers. So that line is just gone because what my nephew has is girls in terms of guys. I won't have any blood relationships in my family except my two half-brothers. And I'm judging myself because I don't know how to help him feel that he is loved. I don't know how to do that. I can try, and I do try, and I do ask the Holy Spirit, what do I say next? And sometimes some beautiful words come along, and sometimes I write them, and I think, well, that's what it felt like I ought to write, but I don't know if it's really what I should have written. So in a way, I feel like what John is saying is that he's judging himself. He doesn't know how to make, have his wife make a good decision that goes against what she feels like she needs.
Just like with your letters, just like the letter that you wrote, for you to judge the meaning of that, for you to judge how it's going to be interpreted mm-hmm. by your brother, is a real ego trip. You really can't judge. The most peaceful way to write something like that is to go into peace and prayer and use page 28 as a prayer before you write it. I'm here only to be truly helpful to talk with my brother whose child is dying this week.
Well, my brother died years and years ago when he was 37.
That's the brother that has this child. Yeah. Yeah. Nonetheless, your thoughts about your brother and about that child, these are the things you can work with. You can't work with how the letter's received or the right wording. You know, what you work with is your own personal intent. What is in your heart when you write it? And what do you think of now? Even if you wrote the wrong words, call it a now, because you must have chosen not to be at peace if you're not at peace about it. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus have the power, Luann, if you'll let them, to undo all of your what, quote, wrongdoing, if you'll let them. You are not a victim. You can choose peace at any time. And the job here is not write perfect letters. The job here is not to make somebody else feel loved. Fool's journey. The job here is for you to see that he is loved. The job here is for you to see that there's not loss going to be happened because anybody was born today or died today. Do you see?
I'm trying to see. I'm almost there.
You would tell a story that says that kid needs to live another day. It's just unfair if he doesn't live another 50 years. That's a story. However, you can contribute your loving thoughts right now about the life he is living and the smile you remember or that you keep and your good wishes for him, because that you can share. He wants happiness. You want happiness. He wants completion. You want completion. This is part of the Bodhisattva vow, is that you would actually extend your loving bubble around another. And that you could not take your own peace fully if you were not able somehow to bring the other along with you peacefully. It's a beautiful circle of completion. It's in Buddhism. It's in A Course in Miracles many, many times. Here's your opportunity now. Go collect your brother, your dead brother from so long ago. Collect your thoughts about him and bring them to love. Bring them to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, let me see this with peace.
I may have already done that.
Good. So now you can't judge. You really are not capable of judging what anything you've said means to somebody else, especially. And the next paragraph says it all. Well, in fact, why don't you read that for us, Luann? Why don't you read for us paragraph 3?
The aim of our curriculum, unlike the goal of the world's learning, is the recognition that judgment in the usual sense is impossible. This is not an opinion, but a fact. In order to judge anything rightly, one would have to be fully aware of any conceivable wide range of things, past, present, and to come. One would have to recognize in advance all the effects of his judgments on everyone and everything. It's ridiculous that it makes me want to cry.
Isn't it? You are innocent, Luann. That's what it's saying.
And everything involved in the men anyway. In fact, when I was telling my daughter, who told me that he was going to be, the prognosis was that all the treatment he's had isn't working at all, I said, I wish there was just something I could have done for him all these years. And she said, Mom, You did. You let him live in a house for rent when he was going to college for free. And I thought, oh yeah.
And that was his life.
And yep, that's what caused him to have the rest of his life.
That was his life. You were there.
One would have to recognize in advance all the effects of his judgments on everyone and everything involved in them in any way. And one would have to be certain there is no distortion in his perception, so that his judgment would be wholly fair to everyone on whom it rests now and in the future. Who is in a position to do this? Who except in grandiose fantasies would claim this for himself?
The ego. I know who. Well, small-minded, selfish, self-important ego could do that, but not the teacher of God. Not somebody who's turning themselves over to the service of love. That's what you're doing in your awakening. Okay. And same for you, Don. You're just turning yourself over to the service of love in your relationship with your wife. And so, you know, you have to get past what she's saying about windows and money and everything to what is this for? And it's a whole different way, of course, you know, to look at things. It opens your mind about what's actually going on with your wife. And Luann, same for you. What is this for? What are these tears for? What is this regret for? What's really going on there? And just become present. It is a call for love, and you can supply that love.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And that's what, I really recognize that's what she's calling for. And I want, and I don't seem to be able to, I'm not confident about my judgment of how to provide her that love.
Yep. Yep. And again, this is another opportunity for the ego to jump in and say that it has to be in a specific form.
No, yeah, I don't want that. But I think what we've been studying tonight here tells me I need to seek wisdom, guidance.
Wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom, not knowledge. Wisdom.
Tell me how far off I am. Isn't it true that the only thing you need to do when you're wondering what to do is sit back and just recognize how much unconditional love you have for her?
Oh, that's a great way to step back. In fact, we're going to read some about that tonight. Stepping back and letting love come into the situation is a great move, Luann. Because, you know, the ego has to be quiet while you go through this love thing that it just kind of taps its fingers. Okay, fine, love. My wife, daughter, fine. Now let's get back to brass tacks and do something in the world. But the fact is, the love dissolves the urgency, and it raises the conversation in your mind to a higher level of importance. And it tends to quiet the ego. So you're absolutely right. Continue, Luann. Did you finish? No.
Is that the end? Who is in a position to do this?
Oh no, you did. You did. You did finish. Yeah, we claimed it was the ego, it was the pig-headed, selfish person who thinks he can control everything.
Yeah, the other thing is, I don't think it's possible for us to determine through judgment or whatever, action of some sort, anyway, that my nephew or his wife or his kids or my niece, who's his half-sister, are going to be about all of this.
It's only what matters is how you feel right now. If you want to be honest, it's not how they feel.
Right.
It's how you feel.
I love them. That's the only thing it is.
Well, feel that. Go into that. Yeah. Take that to your altar from page 389 and live there for a moment. And it will lift your spirits, literally lighten your life. The ego's got its foot on your toe. That's what it is. The ego stepped on your tail. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4 on page 28? Jesus is going to lecture us a little more. he's going to say, you know, I you should really know this by now, but I'm going to point it out because it is really going to help you. I'm giving you permission not to judge. Okay, let us have it, Jacqueline.
Remember how many times you thought you knew all the facts you needed for judgment and how wrong you were.
Oh, that's personal.
Is there anyone who has not had this experience? Would you know how many times you merely thought you were right without ever realizing you were wrong?
Yeah, so there's the ones where you think, well, but I was right in these situations. He says, guess what?
Why would you choose such an arbitrary basis for decision making? Wisdom is not judgment. It is the relinquishment of judgment. Make then but one more judgment. It is this. There is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. He does know all the facts, past, present, and to come. He does know all the effects of his judgment on everyone and everything involved in any way. And he is wholly fair to everyone, for there is no distortion in his perception.
Wow. Thank you for that promise, Jesus. A little bit of gratitude. This big fat book that you've invested a piece of your life in says you're not alone. You have access to the truth. You have access to a part of your mind that you can turn over to that part of your mind for correct judgment. Your part is to step back. Yes, Luann.
The next paragraph is how, anyway, I wrote the word heaven by the next paragraph.
It must be good. If it's that good, let's have Michaeline read it. Okay, Michaeline. I got your mute. Read us the heaven paragraph on paragraph 5.
I have higher power next to it.
Okay. We'll take that too.
Therefore, lay judgment down, not with regret, but with a sigh of gratitude. Now are you free of a burden so great you could merely stagger and fall down beneath it. And it was all illusion, nothing more. Now can the teacher of God rise up unburdened and walk lightly on. Yet it is not only this that is his benefit. His sense of care is gone, for he has none.
Now I want to stop here and just, I stopped right here. I closed the book and I took this as an instruction and a clarification from Jesus. And I came up with this little phrase for myself that the free one, the one who has chosen enlightenment and chosen to walk with Jesus, with Christ, with God, does he think God, is carefree, not careless, but carefree. He says you are going to ask the Holy Spirit. You are going to show up for people. You are going to consider their happiness is yours. But you will not acknowledge loss. Because you know there is no sin and there is no loss and there is no death even. And so that makes you kind of carefree. However, there is love and there is mind, which is all shared. And so that makes you not care less. You care more even. But now that you're carefree, you can afford to care more. Like Dawn, being able to look past the $160,000 and look into to really care for what is this for? What is the wife actually talking about new windows in a 100-year-old house for two people who are better part of 100 years old themselves? Hey, you know, my mom is 92 running Honolulu Marathon in a couple of weeks. So, you know, to me, age has really become quite relative. So, all right, let's continue, Michaeline.
I'll repeat that. His sense of care is gone, for he has none. He has given it away along with judgment. He gave himself to him whose judgment he has chosen now to trust instead of his own. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. Now judgment he has chosen, now to trust instead of the Lord. Now he makes no mistakes. His guide is sure. Excuse me, I was with dogs.
That's all to say he does not have the coronavirus, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. I don't.
Michaeline, would you mind wearing your mask for the rest of the meeting, just in case?
Yeah, it goes right through the screen, right?
Sneeze all you want. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Now he makes no mistakes. His guide is sure. And where he came to judge, he comes to bless. Where he now laughs, he used to come to weep.
It's so different. You're not abandoning your world. You're not becoming careless. Right? Listen to that last part of that paragraph. You give yourself to capital letters, him whose judgment he has chosen now to trust. So you are trusting judgment, see? But you've had to have a miracle involved to translate the situation to something usable by the right mind. You had to have a miracle involved to translate the situation so you can use it with your right mind. And you're right back in working it, but you're bringing light now instead of more darkness. It's beautiful, isn't it? Whose judgment he has chosen now to trust instead of his own. Now he makes no mistakes. That's you.
Andrew, I just want to make a note that I think we read this on July 16th. That was the day my father let his body aside. Huh? And I made a note of it in the bottom of the page. So
did you?
Yeah. So it was really, really a blessing to review this today.
Nice. Good, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then your life becomes a miracle. The living of your life becomes a walking, talking miracle. How? Here it is. Number 12. And where he came in the past to judge, now he comes to bless. You could bless in a horrible situation. Death, cancer, money issues. You can now become light where otherwise that would require darkness if you're only running on the ego perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's the best chapter I read to explain why you don't have to fear also.
Isn't that nice, Luann?
Yeah.
That really is. Somebody asked me once, what is A Course in Miracles? And I say, it's permission not to fear. Which is, you know, from the ego perspective, you have to fear. But once you read this book, you're like, wait a minute, maybe I don't. Oh. Yeah, I was at this CEO's party. The guy's very successful, Silicon Valley CEO. He supplies one of the main pieces for all Intel processors, just to give you an idea of this person's magnitude in Silicon Valley. And I happen to know him through Course in Miracles, of all places. And I was at his big fancy house on the hill, and his employees were there for a Christmas party. And one of them pulled me aside and said, are you one of those people that studies that thing? What's this Course in Miracles? It was a factory line worker who asked me, what is that? And that's what popped out of my mouth. And I never even said it before, but, you know, I just thought of Bruce, and I thought of, you know, what it probably really does for him, because he overthinks everything. It's part of why he has so many patents. Probably he thinks through everything, and he's very, very smart, but he overthinks a lot of things too. And so getting rid of fear is really helpful for him. So yeah, I just remember that story. Okay. All right. So this whole thing is really good. That whole section is just wonderful, but good. It's good to read that every once in a while to get a little scolding by Jesus and turning it over. What's it like to turn it over? And that'll be kind of helpful for some of our reading tonight as well.
It feels like scolding to me.
No?
It feels like he's telling me the truth.
Yeah. Good, good, good. He's like, in the nicest way possible, he says, knock it off. You know, give up judgment. You're not qualified. And if you think you are, you're just going to muck up your life. He says, but there is somebody with you who is qualified. Your Holy Spirit, your right mind. So, yeah, you bet. That's our mind training. That's what we're doing. Good, 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 good. Okay. Now, let's switch gears a little bit and kind of come into receiving mode. Take a moment. Kind of take a breath. You might want to sit up for this. Just a little meditation. Because I'm going to ask you to take to open a door in your mind. I'm going to ask you to allow some information to come into you. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, it's time for you to ask this question and time for you to receive the answer right for you that's right now. And it's this. If I'm not a body and I'm not on earth, then where am I? If I'm not a body and I'm not on earth, where am I? Please tell me. Somewhere deep inside, you know that there will be a kind of reckoning. Maybe not with this body, maybe with the next or the next, if you believe in that. You will surrender the cycle of birth and death in a body. Somehow you know this, that you're not, somehow some part of you is not a body, that you are indeed perfectly free, and that before your current dream, after your current dream, and forever, you shall remain as love created you, as it always has been, it always shall be. It is the truth. And so, if you're not a body, then essentially, where are you? Welcome back. You are. You, whatever you are, you are. It ain't a body. But you are. This is the only thing you can know. The only thing left inside your dream is that you can know one thing. And that is that you are. It's really something to be celebrated. It's really a mystery to the ego. But you are. And you are forever. You're asked in A Course in Miracles not to be in a body. That's not your home. It's simply so you can welcome the truth. All right, before we jump in, does anybody want to say a few words? Did you want to share anything about your last couple of minutes? Luann? Hang on, let me get your mute for you.
I did it.
Oh, you did. Woo, fast.
The question that you asked was, where are you?
Yep.
And I couldn't get a decent answer at all until I changed it to, what am I?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got something that might be the truth or might not.
Mm-hmm.
I like yours better. You are, which means I just am. I don't have to be what or where or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the answer that I was trying to say, okay, what if I am something, not just are, not just am.
Mm-hmm.
And the only answer I could come up with was, I am of the mind of God, but then that puts me in a bad place because I don't really know what God is.
Sure.
So I let go of all of that, and I felt like I was just present. That's all I was.
Nice. Don, what do you got? I got your mute. Hang on. Go.
I got heaven. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. That beats the heck out of hell in the body.
It does. But then, you know, my ego popped up with a rather salacious former aspiration of mine.
Sure. It'll jump right in. It's a holy instant, Don. It's not a holy minute. So you're fine. No need to judge yourself for having an ego that pops right in and tries to take the frosting off the cake.
Well, at least I did just kind of look at it. I didn't go, oh, fuck. You know, there I am, the fucker I wanted to be.
Yep.
No, I didn't.
You know, this is important recognition, everybody, that it's really an instant. When we do make these steps in your spiritual journey, they're not sudden, the awakening where suddenly everything changes, that you know. It's a little awakening. It's a little light that never goes away. But it's inward. It's an inward thing, not an outward thing. You're still going to have your same thoughts and memories and habits, and your stinking thinking is still going to pop up, but there's a little more light now inside you that may not accept those things as true anymore. It's a gentle awakening, folks. It can be a stark awakening, but that, of course, says that just practically never happens. It's too scary. It's too unkind. Yeah. Well, let's read a little bit about this. Turn to page 457 in the text. 457. And I kind of hate to. It looks like Jason is in Samadhi right now. We'll have him read in a minute. We're going to read to Jason. So, Tim, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 7?
On page 457?
Yes, sir.
All the way at the bottom.
All the way at the bottom.
Where would the answer be but in the source?
Bing, 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 bing.
And where are you but there?
Bing, 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 bing.
The same answer, are you?
Okay, well, that then solves that.
Right. Your identity, as much as a true effect of this same source, as is the answer, must therefore be together and the same. Oh, yes, you know this, and more than this alone. Yet any part of knowledge threatens dissociation, much as all of it. And all of it will come with any part of it.
Woo!
Here is the part you can accept. What reason points to you...
Whoop. You got to kind of put a comma after the word two in that sentence. What reason points to, comma...
You can see.
Yeah.
Because the witnesses on its behalf are clear.
Yeah, it's a tricky sentence. We'll dig into it in a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me find my place. I ended with clear. What's up?
Yeah, you're on sentence nine now. Only the totally insane.
Got it. Only the totally insane can disregard them. And you have gone past this. Reason is a means that serves the Holy Spirit's purpose in its own right. It is not reinterpreted and redirected from the goal of sin, as are the others. Her reason is beyond the ego's range of means. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. The ego is busy with selfish judgments. And so the reason we're talking about is beyond the ability of your ego. So why you need to have a guide, why you need to have a spiritual direction, is because the ego is a non-spiritual guide. Of course, calls it I forget exactly how it's phrased. I'll remember it later. Okay.
It's interesting that Jesus gives us a mile marker, sort of a, okay, you've gone so far in your journey in this dream, and you are past the stage of being totally insane.
Yes. You're past this foolishness.
So if you're reading The Course in Miracles and you're in a study group and you've been doing it for a while and all that kind of thing, you are past, you know, the stages of pure insanity.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, you're past total insanity.
Past total insanity. But, you could still revert to sin. Yeah.
Not past.
You're not incapable of it.
You're still capable.
All right, Sundari, what do you got?
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, so this is a little... I just stopped for a minute on the road.
Thank God.
This is a little... Thank God. Is it too late to share on the meditation?
No, sure, bring it.
Oh, okay. That was so sweet because I just got everywhere. You know, where are you? And it was like everywhere. And then this moment flashed in my mind where it's in my book. I mean, I've written it up. There was a mentor I had, and I'd pay him $100, and I'd sit in my room, and he'd be somewhere in the world and would send me some meditation, which was worth it to me. And this one was on archons, and he said, and those are the things that probably ego itself that holds us to this reality, to holds us to this world. And so I sat down for this meditation, and he appears before me like in a samurai outfit with a sword. And he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "But this will kill you." And I said, "Do it." And he takes this samurai sword and he cuts me right down the middle, like about to my waist, and my body falls away. And I'm this beautiful, gorgeous, fluidy light, and just glowing everywhere. And then somehow the body came off, and I thought, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do with this body? And I held it up, and God came and inhaled it into his left nostril.
You got snorted by God? Excellent.
I got, my body got snorted up by God. And then I thought how sometimes when I do healing, I'll go to the end of this universe. Mm-hmm. And like there's a curved hyperspace into other dimensions of being everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, no, I'm driving this car. Don't go there now. That was my meditation. Thanks for letting me hear it. It was really fun.
Thanks for pulling over. All right. Okay, everybody, you know, I want to pay off what we started last week. And it ties into this very nicely. So turn to page 339 in the workbook. Page 339 in the workbook. So it's pretty far into the back of your book. It's lesson 182. Page 339. Lesson 182, but it's page 339 in your workbook. And let's you know, let's go through this lesson together. Because you're all destined, if you haven't already, everybody has had moments that this will describe. And it's nice to have it spelled out for you. And so, let's see, I think we've made it to Ross. Ross, I got your mute. Would you begin reading for us, Ross, lesson 182?
I will be. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, it sounds good. Yeah.
I had some computer problems. I will be still an instant and go home. This world you seem to live in is not home to you. And somewhere in your mind, you know that this is true. A memory of home keeps haunting you as if there were a place that called you to return, although you do not recognize the voice, nor what it is the voice reminds you of. Yet still you feel an alien here, from somewhere all unknown. Nothing so definite that you could say with certainty you're an exile here. Just a persistent feeling, sometimes not more than a tiny throb, at other times hardly remembered, actively dismissed, but surely to return to mind again.
Wow. Isn't this your spiritual journey? Haven't you had clear moments? Maybe they disappeared, but you had them? Or you recognize that somehow you're not a body? Haven't you had some type of realization many times, maybe even along the way, that says, you know, I can't really hang on to it, but man, it's there, right? Good. I hope so. I hope you've had a couple of these holy instances where you knew this was not your home. I'm just jumping for joy when I read this. It's like, wow, let's go for it. Let's put it in the next gear and hit the gas, man. This is complete assurance. The freedom that I have felt, those holy instances along the way that I have felt, are all completely justified here for me. I'm like, oh, yes, let's go. Oh, it's a great paragraph. You know, in fact, Ross, keep reading for us on another page. So everybody keep your finger here, and Ross is just going to do a follow-up on the paragraph he just read. Ross is going to read for us.
Could I just ask one small question?
Yeah, Ross, everybody go to 357, paragraph 1 in your workbook. So just turn to the right a few pages, and Ross will read paragraph 1 in a minute. Yes, Luann.
When you said, have I had that or not, the only experience I've had that maybe when you're talking about is when I say, none of this makes sense to me.
If you really, really meant it, none of this makes sense to me, and you stopped with the word me and not with no sense.
Yeah, I always end up.
If you stopped with me as a completion and not the no sense as a lack, do you hear me?
Yeah.
You stop with wholeness. None of this makes sense to wholeness. None of this makes sense to me because I am, and this is not.
But I always end it with to me.
As long as you did, as I'm saying, your emphasis was on that somehow I am, and I am love and capable of love and hungering only for love. But this world doesn't seem to rhyme that way. So none of it makes sense. If that's what happened, I'm all with you. That is a wonderful holy instant.
Could you tell me where to go again? 335.
You bet. Go to 357. Just a few pages, 10 pages or so to the right.
I got it. Thank you.
And it's a follow-up to what Ross just read. So Ross, hit us with that paragraph one, will you?
The peace of God is shining in me now. Why wait for heaven? Those who seek the light are merely covering their eyes. The light is in them now. Enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all. Light is not of the world, yet you who bear the light in you are alien here as well. The light came with you from your native home and stayed with you because it is your own. It is the only thing you bring with you from him who is your source. It shines in you because it lights your home and leads you back to where it came from, and you are at home.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Ross. Okay, back to 339. And let's continue to have Jesus chat up for us this sense of being an alien here, knowing that this is not our home. Cecilia, are you there? Could you unmute yourself and join us and read paragraph 2? Cecilia. Okay. Let's come back around to Don. Don, you hit us with paragraph 2.
No one but knows whereof we speak. Yet some try to put by their suffering in games they play to occupy their time and keep their sadness from them. Others will deny that they are sad and do not recognize their tears at all. Still others will maintain that what we speak of is an illusion, not to be considered more than but a dream. Yet who, in simple honesty, without defensiveness and self-deception, would deny he understands the words we speak?
If you get really, really honest in your meditation in a moment of silence and freedom, you just know this is true. You're an alien here. This world is temporary and you're not. This world is a story and you're not. You are, in fact, a dreamer of the dream, not the dream character you thought you were. It just dawns on you for an instant every once in a while, doesn't it, in some way, shape, or form? The holy instant just dawns. Yep. You've been telling yourself a big story your whole life. It's been your life. And now you are called to awaken. One step at a time. Don't try to jump the whole staircase. That's useless. It never works. It can lead to huge frustrations. Just one step, the very next step ahead of you, the very next step, the very next step. And this book is going to take you by the hand, even hour by hour, minute by minute. So, you know, good choice. Good choice with Course in Miracles. I totally agree with what you're choosing. Okay, let's have Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 3?
We speak today for everyone who walks this world, for he is not at home. He goes uncertainly about in endless search, seeking in darkness what he cannot find, not recognizing what it is he seeks. 1,000 homes he makes, yet none contents his restless mind. He does not understand he builds in vain. The home he seeks cannot be made by him.
This is your heart is just blossoming and blooming when you see another struggling, trying to make their happiness from the world. The home they seek cannot, you know this now because you're a teacher of God. But boy, you could see another struggle and all you can have is compassion for them. Please continue.
There is no substitute for heaven. All he ever made was hell.
Wow. That doesn't call for judgment. That calls for compassion. Because that was you. When your eyes were closed, when your eye was closed, that was you. searching in the world blindly, bumping into walls. But now freedom has arrived. The light has come. The light has come in you. And when you look on others who are still trying to find light in darkness, you say, oh my goodness. Well, I'll wait. That's what Jesus says. You know, if you don't choose to have lightness in your life, I'll wait. You will. Yeah. Good, good, good. I will be still an instant and go home. Yeah, that's what we're reading about here. Okay, Luann, give us the next paragraph.
Perhaps you think it is your childhood home that you would find again. The childhood of your body and its place of shelter are a memory now, so distorted that you merely hold a picture of a past that never happened.
That never happened!
Yeah.
It's, you know, those first workbook lessons that say nothing you see means anything. You've given everything. You see all the meaning it has for you. And the next thing it tells you is another truth is your mind's preoccupied with past thoughts. And you see nothing as it is now. That was true when you were a child, too. So don't put so much weight on your memories, right? You really didn't see it right then, and you certainly don't see it right now. So, yeah. Okay, Luann, please continue.
Yet there is a capital C child in you who seeks his father's house and knows that he is alien here. This childhood is eternal, with an innocence that will endure forever. Wherever this child shall go is holy ground. It is his holiness that lights up heaven, and that brings to earth the pure reflection of the light above, when on earth and heaven joined as once.
Beautiful. And, all right, Jason, let's have it. I got your mute. Give us paragraph 5.
It is this child in you your father knows as his own son. It is this child who knows his father. He desires to go home so deeply, so unceasingly. His voice cries unto you to let him rest a while. He does not ask for more than just a few instants of respite, just an interval in which he can return to breathe again the holy air that fills his father's house. You are his home as well. He will return, but give him just a little time to be himself, within the peace that is his home, resting in silence and in peace and love.
Remember I told you once in a while, Course in Miracles goes above the typical program? This is another place. Jacqueline, would you read that to Jason? Jason, I want you just to listen to her read to you. I got your mute. Same paragraph.
It is this child in you your father knows as his own son. It is this child who knows his father. He desires to go home so deeply, so unceasingly. His voice cries unto you to let him rest a while. He does not ask for more than just a few instants of respite, just an interval in which he can return to breathe again the holy air that fills his father's house. You are his home as well. He will return, but give him just a little time to be himself, within the peace that is his home, resting in silence and in peace and love.
So, this is you, the Christ, the true life that you have. You have only one life and you share that with God. You're pretending to have another life in a separate with a name on earth. You're pretending, and it's okay. It's fine. In fact, there's great things you can do here, but it gets tiring sometimes, this being this actor. And that's what this paragraph is calling out, is your true nature. Once in a while, it really just wants to go home in God and just rest for a little, just a few minutes. Just let me go back to pure peace and love, and let me breathe the spiritual air. Ah. Okay, now what do you think your problem is? Right? I mean, all of you have had it probably when you get into your meditation routine and then you maybe skip a day or you're late on your meditation and part of you is just aching to sit just for a minute. Does that happen to everybody?
Yep.
So that is your freedom calling you back home. It's beautiful, isn't it? And here it is in this paragraph. It's your true nature. You can't lose it. It takes work to not be there. It takes work to not be at perfect peace and love and stillness. It takes work not to be creative potential all the time. You've gone into one of your little creative ideas. It takes work to do that. If you go still, you will go home. And you know this. So welcome to You Need Do Nothing, and what a reward that is. What a reward that is that you get, because your true being is always waiting in these beautiful words here. Rest in silence and in peace and in love. Is somebody telling me it's 9? No. Okay. Let's get the next paragraph. And so, Michaeline, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 6?
Gladly. This child needs your protection. He is far from home. He is so little that he seems so easily shut out. His tiny voice so readily obscured. His call for help almost unheard amid the grating sounds and harsh and rasping noises of the world. Yet does he know that in you still abides his sure protection? You will fail him not. He will go home, and you along with him.
Do you see this beautiful circle?
That, I just have to say, when we did the meditation, that what came for me was, when you said, where are you? And I was with my father in love. That's where I was.
Nice. Yeah, you are in eternity. Yeah. And so is your father. Took a journey through time, but now he's in eternity. And it's where you and he, the only place you and he could ever join. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, God, there's so much in that paragraph, but that's not what we're really here to study right now. But I just want to point out to you a couple of words in this paragraph. We'll come back to it some other day. But I want you to look at something. In sentence 4, yet does you, the son of, the right-minded son of God, the right-minded extension, know that in you, small YOU, do you see this tricky wording? Do you see how Jesus is working levels here? In you still abides his sure protection. How is that even possible, you might ask? But I just wanted to point it out so that you have something to look forward to. If you think you've read this whole book and you got it all, a sentence like that might make you think twice. Maybe. Depends on how far along you guys are. I never know.
Andrew, would you translate those yet? The he, the you?
Yeah. Okay. Yet does the right-minded son of God, who is aware of his spirit nature, capital he, that's you, you in your awakened state, know that in you, your dreaming individual fantasy who just wants happiness and love and is going about it all wrong. You. That's the you that's not capitalized. You know who you are. Still abides, capital H, his which is right-minded, love-oriented, creative extension, creator, son of God, sure protection. It's a beautiful, beautiful sentence that goes way beyond what we're studying tonight, but not by too much, really. I just wanted to point that out as something that is a beautiful circle where it is acknowledged, your existence, all whatever existence you, whatever level you are is acknowledged in that one sentence. It's really something. To me, what this book has in it, it's just amazing it's not a longer book. But we make it longer, don't we? Because we spend months sometimes on single pages. Okay, let's continue. Let's get Tim. I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 7?
This child is your defenselessness, your strength. He trusts in you. He came because he knew you would not fail. He whispers of his home unceasingly to you, for he would bring you back with him, that he himself might stay and not return again where he doesn't belong, and where he lives an outcast in a world of alien thoughts. His patience has no limits. He will wait until you hear his gentle voice within you, calling you to let him go in peace, along with you, to where he is at home, and you with him.
It's that sweet Holy Spirit voice that's always calm, and if you would ask, would give you a more optimistic view of your life. It's that sweet calling in you that says, well, maybe there's another way. That's not hate or anger or loss. This your Holy Spirit, this your Christ voice, this your Christ nature would not possibly leave you behind. You, the call for love. He, the voice for God. You, the call for the voice for God. Do you see how when these two connect, it's a proper dance? When you're calling only for hate, you don't talk at all. He just waits. But when you call for love, he answers. And your heart fills, and sometimes you go to tears. Because you think, oh God, maybe love is reachable. And it just pours right out of your eyes. You know what I'm talking about. It's beautiful moments. Let's get another paragraph. Looks like Sundari's still driving. I see car parts. Yeah. You keep driving, Sundari. Okay, Ross, would you read for us paragraph 8?
On 340. Okay. When you're still an instant, when the world recedes from you, when valueless ideas cease to have value in your restless mind, then will you hear his voice. So poignantly he calls to you that you will not resist him longer. In that instant, he will take you to his home, and you will stay with him in perfect stillness, silent and at peace, beyond all words, untouched by fear and doubt, sublimely certain that you are at home. Oh.
Hang on a second. I'm going to have Ross do another follow-up paragraph. If I can find it real quick. Yes. Everybody just listen in. Ross is going to continue reading. Ross, would you go to page 591, paragraph 11?
Text?
Text. Yeah, good point. Text.
Top of the page, it says, the present memory 11 starts with the miracle.
You got it.
The miracle comes quietly into the mind that stops an instant and is still. It reaches gently from that quiet time and from the mind it healed in quiet then to other minds to share its quietness. And they will join in doing nothing to prevent its radiant extension back into the mind, which caused all minds to be. Born out of sharing, there can be no pause in time to cause the miracle delay in hastening to all unquiet minds and bringing them an instant stillness when the memory of God returns to them. Their own remembering is quiet now, and what has come to take its place will not be wholly unremembered afterwards.
Wow. What a beautiful description of your awakened mind and that moment of transition and the realization that you're healed. It's so beautiful that let's have Cecilia, are you there? Let's have Dawn read that back to Ross. Dawn, would you read that? I'm gonna have Dawn now go to page 591, paragraph 11.
Thank you, Andrew. The miracle comes quietly into the mind that stops an instant and is still. It reaches gently from that quiet time and from the mind it healed in quiet then to other minds to share its quietness. And they will join in doing nothing to prevent its radiant extension back into the mind, which caused all minds to be. Born out of sharing, there can be no pause in time to cause the miracle delay in hastening to all unquiet minds and bring them an instant stillness when the memory of God returns to them. Their own remembering is quiet now, and what was come to take its place will not be wholly unremembered afterwards.
It's just an instant, folks. Since eternity is out of time, your connection to Source, your true awakening, doesn't happen in time either. And it's a permanent thing. And your own thoughts become smaller. Your small lowercase thoughts become much smaller compared to this one instant of awareness. It outshines every promise the world ever offered. And it looks like peace on your face. And it's contagious. And all you want to do is share it. And you can't not share it. And this is a beautiful circle. Just wanted to point that out. Yeah, isn't that great? Okay, well, we have just enough. We don't have enough time. Let me see if there's anything we have to pick up here. Yeah, let's read. No, that's okay. I think we got it. We got it. It's beautiful. It's all just a beautiful message, and I'm glad we got a chance to read it together tonight. We've got to kind of celebrate our true nature. So much of the book really sounds kind of negative. It has to, because you got a really nasty habit of being this ego character. But tonight we got to look at the beautiful connection to Source, the beautiful, beautiful light that is with us now. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Let's do it again next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, everybody. Thank you, Andrew.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good night, Kenny.
Good night. Good night, everyone.